Okay, so we said we're going to talk about end-of-life issues today, which relate to Siman Shin Lamedtes in Hilchos Avelos. And first, I want to just start off by making clear that the discussions we're going to have today are certainly not lemaisa. Anything we're talking about in Hilchos Avelos, I think that should be kept in mind. But certainly, today's discussion. And when these shilas come up, there are many complex factors that have to be considered, but I think it's kedai to talk about the sugya a little bit, especially because we're learning in Shulchan Aruch, but keep that in mind. So let's start with the following shiloh. Our siman talks about goseis, how to treat a goseis, and we have this very interesting concept in the Rama that hasaras hamoneia is different than active intervention that causes the cessation of life. So let's start with a more basic question, which might be taken for granted in the Rama, which is there a mitzvah to save the life of a goseis? And let's make it even more precise. What about on Shabbos? Would we be mechalel Shabbos for a goseis? Normally, obviously, we're mechalel Shabbos to save a life. Well, why would this be different? Because we anticipate that this goseis is going to die imminently. So what's the din? So this is a machlokas, and many of the achronim appear in the Pesachei Tshuva and our siman. The Beis Yaakov, Siman Nun Tes, prohibits it. And the Shvos Yaakov, quoted over here, Chelek Aleph, Siman Yud Gimel, permits it. And the consensus of the poskim, including the Mishneh Berurah, as we'll see in a moment, is to support the view of the Shvos Yaakov, that there's a mitzvah of Hatzalah when it comes to a goseis, and we'd even be Mechal Shabbos, and even though it's only a question of extending his life for a short period of time, that mitzvah overrides it. I'll read a little bit from his tshuva. Hinei baal knesa gdola nitzal min adov upaga bo'ari, demash ma'medvarev de lakach lo mechal on Shabbos, lefisha yagoseis, upashet hu be'enav shelo mechal on Shabbos agoseis. Venerali, de taimo, de rov goseis in lemisa. The reason for the knesa gdola saying that we're not mechal Shabbos for goseis is because he's going to die, most likely. Vemes lenias daiti hadin baro lehepach, we treat a goseis as alive for all things. In fact, interestingly enough, if you kill a goseis, we paskin, this is in the Rambam, you're chayv misa, which makes it, in a sense, even more alive than a treifa. If you kill a treifa, though a treifa could live up to a year, you're not chayv misa. A treifa is considered more dead than a goseis. It is true that we anticipate the goseis to die. And in fact, as we saw in Sif Beis over here, Siman Shin Lamedtes Sif Beis, if somebody hears that their relative was a goseis 3 days ago, they should start sitting Shiva. They're going to assume that they died, even though they didn't hear that they died. They just hear a report. Yeah, 4 days ago, we saw your relative, they were goseis. There's a question that we'll see, I hope today, discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva, whether that applies to an Eishes Ish. In other words, will we say that the Eishes Ish should sit Shiva, or no? We won't follow a rove to allow her to get remarried, and therefore maybe she shouldn't sit Shiva. And then the post can discuss what about a situation where we're going to have the children sitting Shiva and the wife not sitting Shiva. But be that as it may, even though it's true, we will assume, at least with respect to Hilchos Avelos, that this goseis died. And even though you don't know they died, if they were goseis 3 days ago, we'll assume they're dead. You should start sitting Shiva. But that doesn't mean that they're not alive now. When they're alive now, they are fully alive. And pikuach nefesh chashinan lefisha'ah. And he quotes those who disagree and strongly rejects. As I said before, the Bir Halacha in this discussion of this question, this is the Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Chaf Tes Siv Daled, says that this really comes down to the question of why we're Mechalel Shabbos. So the Gemara actually has a number of reasons. One of the reasons is Chalel alav Shabbos achas kedei shishmeru Shabbos osarbe. That the reason we're mechalel Shabbos to save a life is because okay, we'll be mechalel this one Shabbos, but we anticipate many more Shabbosos. Now, says the Bir Halacha, if you accept that that reason is true, then it stands to reason that you would not be mechalel Shabbos for goseis, because even if we could be mechalel Shabbos to give him chayisha, we don't expect him to be alive next Shabbos. He's not going to make it. So therefore, if that's the reason that we expect him to, if that's the reason for chilul Shabbos, then indeed we wouldn't do it. However, the Bir Halacha says that that is not the accepted reason. And this is noted, he quotes the Meiri in Yoma. The Meiri says, V'afal pishin is bar she'ef shalo lachios afil sha'achas, she'ba'os ha'sha yashav v'libo v'yizvadeh. Maybe you'll keep him alive for another 5 minutes, and in that time, he'll do a mitzvah. He'll do vidur, right? And that's enough to be mechal Shabbos. In other words, you don't need shishmeru Shabbos osarbe. We need, it's enough to keep him alive for another minute. Maybe he'll do one more mitzvah. Maybe he'll do tshuva. Says the Bir Halacha, but I think even more than a Meiri. Let's say we don't anticipate for him to be able to do vidur, right? Let's say he's not conscious. And we don't expect him to ever regain consciousness. So if you held that the Meiri's reason was correct, maybe we wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. Says the Bir Halacha, we're still going to be Mechal Shabbos. Why? Dachinan kol mitzvos b'shvil chayim shel Yisrael. Ini chayim shel Yisrael, and as we said, the Goseis is gechay l'chol dvarav, so we are Mechal Shabbos. And that's what he writes. He concludes with Lefiza Barer. Right? In other words, if you accepted the reason of the Meiri, that the reason why we're going to do it is because, well, maybe he'll do vidui. So let's say for a shota, we wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos ever, because he's never going to do any mitzvos. No, we would still be Mechal Shabbos. If it's Chayim Shal Yisrael, we're Mechal Shabbos. So the only exception, the only case you're not Mechal Shabbos is Yisrael Mumer Lahachas De'ober B'mezit. And therefore, he writes, Mechal Shabbos for Goseis, Imrofe Omer, Shesamimanim Elu Yo'ilu Lo Laharech, Rigei Chayim, it'll give him a couple more minutes of life. By being Mechal Shabbos, you do it. That is the conclusion of the Bir Halacha. And that is, I think, the consensus among the poskim. So that being the case, then we're left with a very strange dilemma, because the Shulchan Aruch over here allows for, the Rama at least, and we'll read it inside right now, but he allows for the removing of impediments to the soul's departure. Meaning to say, if there's something preventing this guy from dying, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to remove those impediments and basically bring about his death. You can't actively bring about his death, but you can indirectly bring about his death. Again, we'll define those terms in a moment. And that is talking about a goseis. So it seems that there's a stira here, because if you could be Mechal Shabbos, that means there's a mitzvah hatzalah. If there's a mitzvah hatzalah, then how are you allowed to bring about his death? That seems incompatible. So let's try to figure out where the Rama is coming from, and then we could consider, is it in fact compatible or incompatible? So we'll start with the Shulchan Aruch. Again, Shin Lama testifal. As we said, and therefore, ein koshrin l'chayav, ve'ein sachanoso, ve'ein medichanoso. What he's talking about here is that you can't tie down his jaw, you can't bathe him, you can't remove a pillow from beneath him, you can't close his eyes until he's totally dead. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if you do this, if you close his eyes, for example, you're a murderer. Now, what these activities basically are, the things that you do once a person has died. So once they've died, you close their eyes, for example. Don't jump the gun. If you do, you're a murderer. Why are you a murderer? Because by closing his eyes, you might have caused him to die a little bit earlier, right? Maybe he would have hung on for another 5 minutes. And you are hastening his death. So we can't do anything that might hasten the death, which includes starting funeral preparations in his presence. Lo korin alav, lo choltim, lo maspidim alav, ein machnisin imo aron levayis. Right? Imagine, you know, you see them bringing the aron into the room. You're probably going to, you know, it's a little depressing. So you can't do that. Okay, that's what the Mechaber says. Pretty straightforward. Says the Rama, the chayim, aser ligrom lemeis shiyamos mehera. Kigon, mishu gosis manarach. For example, you have a gosis manarach. Now we have to define that term because it's a term that seems to make no sense. Why? Because what is a gosis? A gosis is defined as someone that's going to die within 3 days. So how could you possibly have a gosis manarach? This seems to be a strange category. We'll have to work on what it means. But anyway, you have this goses zman arach, the lo yuchal lihi parade. His soul can't depart, right? Sounds like he's trying to die, but he can't. So aser lihi shamed hakar, vakeses mitachtav. So you can't actively hasten his death. What would an example be? Pulling the pillow out from under his head, or basically any type of movement, because that might cause him to die. That's killing him. Mikoch she'omrim she'yesh notes. Now, why would you want to take the pillow out from under his head? Because they say, she'yesh notzos miktsas ofo she'garmin lo garmin zem. Why can't he die? Because, you know, maybe there's a peacock feather in his pillow. And peacock feathers, everybody knows, they prevent the departure of the soul. V'chein, so you want to take out the pillow, so he's going to die finally. No, you can't do it. V'chein lo yazizenu mimakomo, you can't move him. V'chein aser lasum maftechos beis haknesses tachas rosho. Okay, what's going to apparently allow the soul to depart? Putting the shul keys under his pillow. Aser. Why? Because that's going to move his head. When you put something under somebody's pillow, they'll move a little bit. Absolutely aser. Aval im yesham davar shegorim ikov yitzias hanefesh kigon shiyesh samach loso bayis kol dofek kigon chotev etzim. Next to the house, there's this guy chopping wood. And for whatever reason, the wood chopping is keeping him alive. His soul can't depart because of the noise from the wood chopper. Oh, sheish melech alashono. There's some salt on his tongue. Ve'elu ma'akvim yitzis ha'nefesh. Motor lasiro misham. So you could remove that piece of salt. De'en b'zeh ma'isa klal. You're not going to move him. There's no ma'isa. It's passive. The reason why that's okay, it's a hasaras moneya. So this is almost like, sounds like Hilchos Shabbos, right? If it's hasaras hamoneya, it's okay. What do we mean hasaras hamoneya? Because what is, there's this piece of salt on his tongue is being moneya, yitzias hanashama, mutter to be meisir the moneya. However, to put the keys under his head, that's not hasaras hamoneya. That's murder. That's aser. Ad kan the Rama, and he's quoting this from the Shilte Giborim. So, what does this mean? So, I think we have to ask really three questions. There's somewhat of a discrepancy in terms of the sources. If you look at how the Shilte Giborim is written, it's a little different than Hagos Maimonius and the Rama. We're not going to be omit on that right now. We're going to focus on the formulation of the Rama. So I think we'll ask three very important questions. Number one is, the Rama says you can't hasten the death of the Goseish, but it's mutter to be meser the moneya. So what is the difference between these two actions, and how do we define the difference? Number two is the question we asked before. If you assume we paskin that we're machal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh for goseis, so doesn't that mean there's a mitzvah hatzala? So if there's a mitzvah hatzala, how could we ignore that mitzvah hatzala in order to hasten his death, even if we're hastening the death through hasar samoneya? Those two things seem to be incompatible. And finally, number three, we need to figure out, how does this apply to modern medicine? For example, how do we look at removing a respirator? Is removing a respirator hasar samoneya because he's now just going to die on his own? Or is that considered the equivalent of causing him to die? And all sorts of questions of this sort. Those are the three questions we need to address. So if we look back at the source of the Ramah, we mentioned the Shilta Giborim. The Shilta Giborim differentiates between a Goreim, which is Aser, and Hasar Samoneya, which is Mutter, but he does not explain why they are different. However, he does refer to this Brisa Maseches Machos, Gimel Aleph, who seems to say something along these lines. It says in Maseches Machos, if you close the eyes of a dying person, the ghost says, so you're like a murderer. And it compares it to a candle that the flame is flickering and is about to go out. And if you put your finger on the flame, so the flame goes out. So that's what's Aser. But when you remove the impediment, so then you don't extinguish the flame, and therefore it's okay. It's interesting from this Ramah, it doesn't just sound like this is okay to do, it sounds like it's something that you should do. Now, if we look at the Nosei Kelim on the Ramah, there's a Taz and a Shach. The Taz is Sifkatan Beis, Shach Sifkatan Zayin, as well as in the Nechusa Kasef. And they focus on the Isser of touching a Goseis, which we mentioned. And basically, they distinguish between anything that's going to cause movement of the patient, which is Aser, because that's considered killing, and hastening the death without movement, which is permissible. The debate between the Shach and the Taz is somewhat technical. It's about how much movement is okay. So, for example, we saw the Ramah allows you to remove the grain of salt from the mouth, from the tongue of the Goseis. And the Ramah, the Taz disagrees. He says that's movement, right? You can't possibly remove something from somebody's tongue without there being a concern of at least some type of minimal movement. And the Shach defends the Ramah, and that type of minimal movement is okay. But they essentially accept the basic distinction of the Ramah, and they disagree about a certain technicality. So what we need to do then is go back to the basic distinction. And let's focus on really what we said was the second question, which is it makes sense that you could have simultaneously a mitzvah tzatzala and a heter and maybe even a responsibility to hasten the death in a permissible way? Are those two things compatible? And here we have two approaches in the poskim. Some poskim accept the premise of the question. Those two things are indeed incompatible, and therefore we need some type of reconciliation. We'll see in a moment that is the view of Rabbi Bleich. Or the second possibility is to deny the premise of the question. In fact, it is possible to have a situation where if you want to extend life, even for a couple moments, you may. And you could even be Michal Shabbos to do so. And if you want to hasten the death through Hasar Samonea, you can. You have to figure out which one is the appropriate action. But they could both be true. They could both be true. And that's the view, among others, of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Stipler, and the like. So I'll start with Rav Bleich, because Rav Bleich is, I guess, the simpler understanding, which is these two things are incompatible. And therefore, Rav Bleich says, well, since the poskim accept that we are mechalel Shabbos to save the life of a goseis, so doing so is mandatory. And therefore, whatever could be done to prolong life must be done even to a goseis. Aye, what about the Ramah? So he tries to minimize the application of the Ramah. First of all, he says, this is not the standard goseis. This is this funny category of goseis man arach. For standard goseis, all therapy must be continued, even on Shabbos. What type of situation is the Ramah talking about? So basically, says the Ramah, is talking about the removal of non-therapeutic remedies, or skulos. That is what the Ramah is talking about. After all, what are the examples of the Ramah? Very strange, right? You're allowed, we get the guy to stop chopping wood. Who ever heard of wood chopping or, you know, keys from a shul or who knows what, a piece of salt, right? These are rifuot sguliot. Now, over the summer, we talked about a big discussion about alternative medicine and rifuot sguli. And we're not going to go back over that. We spent several shiurim on that. Menachem at least remembers, I hope. So over there, we saw actually a big debate in the poskim how to deal with it. The Rambam's commentary in the Mishnayos and the Pirshei Mishnayos about the fox's tooth. And there, without going into the details of that sugya, we saw that there is some evidence that we treat these types of medical interventions, even if you think they're going to work differently than standard medical interventions. And it doesn't even necessarily depend on the level of efficacy. Just for example, we paskin that you cannot be mechal Shabbos to write a kameya. Now, one second, you can be mechal Shabbos for a medical intervention that's, let's say, 1% of being effective. You drive to the hospital, even though 99% chance this guy's going to die regardless, but there's a 1% chance that you can take to the hospital and they'll perform surgery and maybe he'll live, drive to the hospital. But now you're a very strong believer in your Rebbe, and you think, well, I see my Rebbe do miracles, right? And I think there's a 10% chance that if I go to the Rebbe is going to daven, and he's going to live. You still can't be Mechal Shabbos. But why? The answer is that the Heter of Chol Shabbos, this is somewhat of an oversimplification, but the Heter of Chol Shabbos is said for medical intervention and nothing else. We talked, I think, about the Tshuva Sarashba, about what about being Mechal Shabbos to prevent a person from shmadding and the like. And that's another interesting discussion, not for now. But basically, medical intervention, you're allowed Mechal Shabbos. So when it comes to medical intervention, you must do all intervention that you can. And you should do it even on Shabbos and the like. In the realm of skulos, so then if there's a situation where there's a skula that could be done that will allow this poor man's soul to depart, so fine, that's what the Rama is talking about. But essentially, you can't have a situation where, since it's motav b'mechal Shabbos for this goseis, that you could also decide to withdraw medical treatment. As I said before, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one place is in the Mincha Shlomo, Tzadi Aleph Chav Dalet Beis, disagrees. He says many people are bothered by this distinction, but I don't think that it is a stira at all. Before we get to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, which we'll read a little bit inside, I'll read you from a letter from the Stipler, because I think he makes an interesting point. This is from Kraina de Igrisa, Chelak Aleph, Simen Kuf Tzadi. Bikra Yisod, de Kol Mashe Asher Laharachai Yachola, whatever you could do to extend the life of the chola, even chaisha, you have to do. I heard it when I was a kid, says the Stipler in the Vardik, or I don't know where he was when he was a kid. You know, I heard this idea that whatever you could do to prolong the life of a patient, you have to do, right? That's the Jewish approach. It's if you read all the Jewish magazines and English books, they'll say that meforish. I heard like that. However, I don't know. Whoever said that, I don't know if that's right. Especially when that's going to prevent lots of pain. So rak maisa begufa wasser lasso. Stem came. In other words, to not begin some type of intervention, yes, there's some type of therapy we could do that would extend the life of this patient. But doing so would just cause them to suffer more. So lo matzasi yisur. Vadiraba yesh lo mod limnoa mizeh. Maybe we should avoid doing that. And he cites the Beis Lechem Yehuda on our Simen, if you want to take a look. Shein la seis melech la'arech hagsisa. Right? If the Rama says you can take away the salt, certainly you shouldn't put a piece of salt there. Okay, maybe gosis is different. So if you could do hatzala, of course we could do hatzala. But if it's just a question of chayisha, so then dami lenido nagose, shavya gose, sukachayil chodvarav, even though the gosis is kachay, and he concludes tachi and gadol. But he points out that our simin would seem to suggest that there are times that perhaps we shouldn't start a certain therapy at the very least, even though that might give chayisha to the gosis against Rabbi Baruch. I'll read you now from Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Again, it's Chelek Aleph Simin Sadi Aleph, Os Chav Dalet. So he also raises this stira. And he says, what's the issue? Im kol zos, hinenu mitzuvim, v'gam chayavim l'shtadol b'kum v'aseh l'harachas chayehem shel mishusakim. Okay, so here he's talking about someone who is paralyzed. And he says, generally speaking, now it's a complex shiloh, I don't want to get into all the details. They could do surgery and the surgery might cause them to become paralyzed, but it might not even save their lives. The question there is beyond what we need for now. But he says, of course, just because somebody is paralyzed, we have to extend their life. And he quotes, right, we're Machal Shabbos, Gamal Zakein Chola, Mukashchin, Afal Pishu, Cher Shot Gamor, Vidyoch Lasso Shemitva. Like the Bir Lacha said, that we're Machal Shabbos, even though we don't anticipate this Chol ever being able to do more mitzvahs. The Od Yosher Neon Yazdaiti, Shafilu Machol Mitzdar Harbe, Baofen Kazah, Shemitzad Alacha, Mitzvah Levakesh Alav Shiyamas. Now, this is a very interesting thing. He goes further. He says, let's say you have a situation where there's a mitzvah to daven for the death of this chola. As the Ram says in Nedarim Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the famous story of the Shivcha Shel Beis Rebbe. So you have situations. Again, how you determine whether someone's in this situation or not is not always easy. But you have a situation where the correct course of action is to daven for someone to die. Mikol makom, gam ba'os ha'shash v'vakish mispa'alel, l'Hashem, shachol yamos, gam kin chayev, hu l'asik batzalaso, l'chalal alav as ha'shabes, afi u'kam upon him. This is very interesting, right? It seems strange. I assume that he must be saying the following. Since there's a mitzvah satzala, and you could do something to extend the person's life, you must. At the same time, you think that they're better off dead than alive because they're in so much pain. So you're davening that they die. I would have thought that this is a stira. Apparently, he doesn't think so. Sort of similar to actually Rabbi Bleich's distinction, but we'll see in a moment he does not accept Rabbi Bleich's distinction. Of the Kol Makom, skipping a little, Hol of the Sof Sof Achaim Shalom Shuzakim Heim Rayim Marim V'Gam Yesh Asher Tov Lahem Mavis Michaim. We do have this concept, this situation, where a person is Tov Lahem Amavis Michaim. Their life is such that they're better off dead. So then, in cases like that, you don't en chayavim lasos maisos shel nituach. You don't have to engage in a certain therapy, surgery, and therefore he's saying that there are cases, and this is what I said is against Rabbi Bleich. There are cases where a person might decide that the person's now again, it's always more tricky when you're trying to make this decision for somebody else. But where it's tov lo mavis michayim, that you're not going to at least start a certain therapy, and you're going to allow them to die. You're going to allow them to die. And then he makes the point that we brought up. Rabim mislabtim b'she'lazu shel tipul b'chola goses. Yesh shokrim, dekshem shmachal on Shabbos, avor chayeshah, kach ayom lehachriach es hachola al zeh, ki hu einem bailem al atzmo, levater al rega achas. So if we should be Machal Shabbos to save his life, we have to compel him to do so. In other words, let's say the Chola is saying, let me die, right? I want to die. Enough. I'm in a lot of pain. And we should say, well, since there's a mitzvah Hatzalah upon us, right, we would be Machal Shabbos. So we have to sort of force that upon him. Says Rishon Lezalman, that's wrong. Ach mistaber she'im ha-chol sovel mekevim v'yisurim gedolim, o afilu sevel nefesh chazak me'od, choshvani she'u. Ochel v'chamtzan l'neshima chayavim l'tein lo, gam neged ritzono. You still have to feed him. Aval muter l'himana me trufos ha-gormo sevel l'chola. But trufa, you don't have to do. Here he's making a distinction. We'll analyze this distinction in a moment. What's it based off of? But you don't have to do all therapies. So there's medicine that might prolong his life. You don't have to give it to him. Ulam imacholi yarishamayim v'lo nitrifadaito ratzui me'od lahazbir lo shiafe sha'achas b'tshuva l'mazet mikol chelam abba. Now, if it's lo nitrifadaito, in other words, we're talking about someone who is in a lot of pain, but they're still conscious. We should explain to them, look, and yes, we know you're in a lot of pain, but maybe you should consider this treatment. It's going to extend your life, or it might extend your life, even though it's going to be a painful life, but you could still do tshuva maisim tovim. Okay. And if he says, no, I'm not interested, this is enough, I want to die, so then we would accept that and we would not compel him to take this treatment. Oh. Good. That is what Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach says. And he says, therefore, the Rama makes a lot of sense. The Rama said that passive withholding of treatment is okay, but active withdrawal of treatment is aser. That's basically what the Rama writes, and that's what we have to do with this chola. So the answer is, I think what he's saying is that if the chola wants to live, so that one second, they want to live, so then we're going to be Machal Shabbos to give them chayisha. If the chola wants to die, so then they have that right. And again, you know, under, you know, when appropriate, like the case over here of someone who's in a lot of pain and with a terminal disease and whatever it is. And if they say, no, I want to die, then we're not going to do Hatzalah. And it's their choice. And if they can't make the choice on their own, so then it's more difficult, but we try to figure out what they would want. Yeah, so the point is, in our situation of the Rama, where you have this situation where the neshama is trying to leave, and they can't leave. So since we see the situation, whether it's because he told us or in our own assessment that this guy, you know, would be better off dead, right? Right now, it's a very painful situation. So then it makes sense for us to allow him to die. And therefore, as long as it's being done passively, like by being Maser the Moneya, so then we're going to do that. And if he was a goses and he said, I want to live, or we assessed that he would want to live, then we would be Machal Shabbos.
Well, in the case of Shabbos, Or like,
let's say what?
But Hillel Shabbos, mm-hmm. or if the kid of the person who roots up someone is under a building or whatever it is. So will we ever make that assessment with Hillel Shabbos? If like, this person's not.
Yeah, if he's.
I'm obviously Joseph.
If he's in a situation where, you know, where we would take we'd be Mason Monet and cause him to die. So obviously we're not going to be Michal Shabbos to save his life. Right? So now, you know, if somebody's buried under a pile of rubble, we won't assume that's the case. Typically we'll say, okay, there's a small chance he might live. So let's be Michal Shabbos and remove the rubble. But if they're in a situation where, I say, you know, obviously if during the week we're going to be removing the salt to hasten his death, we're not going to be Michal Shabbos to hasten his life. That's right. So it's no problem. Now, they're both true. Now, Rav Moshe's position here is a little tricky. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe, Yeredeich Lelekim Olsim and Kuf Lamed Beis. There's several tshuvos where Rav Moshe sees removing a respirator as a form of killing. Kol zman sheha mechona ovedes avudasa asur litol mipiv deshama huchai ve'argu b'zeh. Other posts can disagree, and we'll talk about more in the ventilators, but that's the tshuva where you see it's discussed. So, as I said, we're short on time, but take a look at the Am Mordechai, the volume on Arba Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, Simen Lamed Hei. But one of the things that Rabbi Willig points out is, first of all, we do have many precedents in Shas where we find that a person is better off dead, whether it's the mice of Rabbi or the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion or the like, where we say that the executioner was Mezumim Chayil Maba for causing him to die more quickly and getting out of pain. And basically, the idea is that what's the mitzvah to cure people? Vashivos alone. Just like Hashavas Aveda is only when it's good for the person. Therefore, fundamentally, it doesn't apply in a situation of Tov Lo Maves Mechayim. So if we arrive at a conclusion that he's better off dead, Tov Lo Maves Mechayim, so then there's no mitzvah Hatzalah, and you still can't actively kill the person, but there's no mitzvah of Hatzalah. So now let's go back and talk about what a goses is and how does this apply. So the Ramah elsewhere in Evan HaEzer and Choshen Mishpat, it's Evan HaEzer Kuf Chaf Aleph, Choshen Mishpat Reish Yud Aleph, defines a goses as someone who's basically irreversibly, terminally ill. And it describes certain things like he's coughing up this phlegm. Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe Chelak Beis, Chosh Mishpat Chelak Beis, Ayin Gimel, as well as elsewhere, notes that it's hard to medically define this, though he says that in the past, members of the Chevra Kedisha were able to identify what a goses is. But the basic idea of a goses, we saw, is someone whom Al Pi Rov will be dead within 3 days, right? And that's why we saw in our simon that if someone, we'll start a velus for someone who we knew was a goses 3 days ago. That's basically what it is. So if you have a situation where it seems like most likely this person is going to die within 3 days, seems that they're a goses. If you look at the Nishmas Avram, so Rabbi Dr. Abraham said he asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach to define a goses for practical purposes. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman said to him, you're the doctor, which basically I think is saying that it's the physician who should make the call if someone's a goses, you know, based off of what they know. So that's the standard goses. Now, our simon, like we said, is talking about an unusual situation of the goses zman arach, which is a little bit vague. So I want to take a step back and sort of figure out a little better what is the Hashkafas HaTorah then about these types of questions. If you look, there's a piece by Rav Schachter. It's an Ikvei HaTzon, Lamed Dalet. And he writes basically over there, and this is an idea that Rav Schachter says frequently in different ways. On the one hand, it is true that a person does not have full ownership over their body. A person certainly cannot decide to kill themselves. And the modern idea that we sort of own our bodies and to do whatever we want with our bodies is certainly keneged the Torah. However, a person does have a certain level of ownership with respect to what they consider pikuach nefesh. And there are going to be times where a person could basically choose. Schachter quotes a tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Mor Ktzia, Or Chaim, Reish Chaf Ches Vav, where a situation where the outcome of certain cure is unclear, complete cure can't be guaranteed, there are side effects. And basically, the answer is it's up to the patient to decide, you know, are we doing him a favor by extending his life or not? Rav Moshe does write, Yerudeya Chelek Beis, Kuf Ayin Dalid, that it's usher to extend the life under certain circumstances at the extent of suffering. So Schachter says, well, if you have a situation where most people would prefer to undergo a given treatment, then we will ignore the patient's refusal. In other words, somebody goes ahead and whatever, they, you know, there's a certain treatment that they might actually live like a normal life. And they say no. So we would not accept that. But Ladaito. You know, one way to look at it is they're depressed. And it's true that they're saying, you know, let me die. But we don't always say that. Where it's clear that most people would want to try to live in this type of situation. And about this, you know, v'shmartem od l'nafsho seichem. But there are cases where, like we said, it's the patient's choice. The way many poskim, this is the way Rav Zalman Nechemia puts it, Rav Willig puts it this way as well, is that we have this situation of tov lo moso mechayim. And at that point, there's no longer a mitzvah of hatzala. And again, it's hard to sometimes figure out when that state has been achieved, but that is the halacha. And under those circumstances, it is permissible to not pursue treatment. Now, Rav Moshe writes that if the patient isn't experiencing pain, then there would be no basis to refuse treatment. So you might say, let's say the doctors tell you that they're not in any pain. Rav Moshe says we don't believe the doctors about that. The doctors might say there's no pain, but maybe there's pain that they can't track. And therefore, we will not accept what the doctors say. Rav Willig thinks basically that's not even necessary, because if you're in a situation of tov lo moso mechayim, it's irrelevant. Even if you're not experiencing pain, you can refuse treatment, or again, whoever's making the decisions can refuse. So now the question is, how do we apply this? Is Mincha 135 or 130? 130? Okay. So there are some poskim who say that even removing a ventilator is maser monea. Why? Because the patient is not going to die immediately. And even though it's the ventilator that's going to keep them alive, That's basically Hasara Samoneya. This is not the accepted view. The accepted view, including Rabbi Willig, is that that's more like removing the pillow from beneath him. As once he's on it, it's part of his environment. It's not like the guy chopping wood outside, because his situation is that he's on a respirator. So, as we said before, there may be many situations where you would not put the person on a respirator, but once they're on the respirator, you can't just take them off. Nevertheless, Rabbi Willig thinks that there are certain situations where you can limit the respirator. For example, you can cause the person to go to a situation where it's the respirator or the oxygen is giving him normal breathing. So let's say in the case of oxygen, if it's they're on a ventilator and the ventilator is giving 100% oxygen, 20 breaths per minute. Now, a normal person is 21% oxygen, so something like that. So you can't take him off, but you could reduce it to 21%. So it's like normal breathing. Normal breaths is about 6 to 8 breaths per minute. So you could take it from 20 to 6 to 8. That makes it like normal. Now, that's not the same as pulling the plug. He's on this machine, and you can't take him off the machine, but the machine is allowing him to breathe what would normally breathe. And then if he's going to die, he's going to die. So that is okay, according to Ray Willett, which is very relevant, especially in a lot of these brain death scenarios and the like. All right, we don't have time to go on. There's a lot more I wanted to say, but I guess we will stop here. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this on Monday. But in Seder, I haven't decided yet. Seder, you should definitely move on to Simon Shin Mem if you haven't already done so yet. Shin Mem's a lot of work, but we're actually going to start normal halacha, starting with Shin Mem. In other words, we're going to go through the Beis Yosef, the Shachs, the Tazes, the Gemara, the Rishonim, and the like we did for the rest of the year. So you should be doing that, starting really with Shin Mem and going weiter from there. So the real Limud is going to start from Shin Mem. And maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about some of these issues, but we're going to, not the whole shiur, I think. I think because of my giving the two shiurim, the post-Pesach and the regular one, I can't. Let's start 135 instead of 125 for at least for the next bit of time, next several weeks. And then we just need to figure out a room to do it. So be in touch. Okay. Yeah. Have a good day. I'm sorry?
Every Sarah wrote Sarah for a new event,
because
that's basically it. Yeah. Why is it in my phone?